Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 4th of December, 2018, Tuesday class. Let us prepare for puja. Compose your mind, develop the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Âm Bồ Tát. Namo A Di Đà Phật. 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 Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Mi Lo Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated and turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Right? We will chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura meraya maja pama datana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the padipa puja offering of light. Ganna sarappa ditena dipena tamadang sena. Tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina. 不加耶不加尼扬当不加巴加那穆特曼万那甘达古诺佩汤耶当可苏玛三特丁不加亚米穆尼达斯悉里巴达萨罗罗嘿不揭弥不当可苏美那尼那不那提那不提啊不都摩康不帮米拉亚蒂亚达伊当咪卡哟塔塔亚蒂维那萨巴王阿迪瓦斯蒂图诺班提波尼扬巴里卡巴汤阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴蒂甘哈图穆特曼阿迪瓦斯图诺班提巴里巴里卡巴汤阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴蒂甘哈图穆特曼阿迪瓦斯图诺班提波迦南巴里卡毗当阿努坎邦乌巴达亚巴提甘哈图穆特曼 Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light.May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits.May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently on with mindfulness to attain the path and fruition. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One.Strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the importance of impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of oral aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings,May our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, Sadhu.Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Puja. Bedang Puja. Damang Puja. Samahang Puja.Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can have half an hour of silent meditation. Just relax body and mind. Maintain some form of attention. then just relax and silence your mind. Then allow whatever thought to settle down. Then with your ability to relax and silence, the sati will take over and your mind will become quiet. Even for those whose spiritual faculty are not so stable, especially your silent mind, your sati, you only need to wait for a while. Then the thought will slow down by itself. Then settle down. Then you can just stay with whatever object of meditation that you are familiar with. It can be your subtle breathing, anapanasati. You continue to relax into it, then allow it to be. Then the anapanasati, you have to develop it until it becomes very fine, very quiet, very still. Then you will experience what they call the silent mind pasati. Then don't do anything, just stay there. Allow the silent mind to continue to become more and more stable. Then the mind, after a while, will become different. It will enter sati. Then this mind that enters sati is quiet, peaceful, just aware, no movement, nothing. And you don't need concentration or a conditioned state of mind to make it quiet or peaceful. It is just quiet on its own. Then you just relax and allow it to be. Whatever that arises, just aware, finish. Means if there is any contact between your mind and your sense basis, the internal six, you just aware of the contact, then move. Move means allow the awareness to be aware. Then no need to know anything. If you continue to relax and do that, your mind will enter sati. And that is the main training that you're supposed to develop. You're supposed to develop the stability of sati, the silent mind. And this silent mind that is already in sati can meditate. It's very sensitive. It can be aware of many things. Then you relax, maintain awareness, and allow the silent mind to be aware, just aware. Then it will understand on its own. Okay. I will ring the bell after about 30 minutes. Then you can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Okay, now you can meditate. slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Then we will chant the invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of the chanting book. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkada Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhasa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati sattadeva manusanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehipaseko opanayiko pachatang veditabo vinohiti supatipano bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakka sango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakeneyo anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyaketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect Tripa Jam. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we can continue with our second session, which is the Dhamma discussion. We are at the new chapter 24. page 408. Okay, you all can sit nearer. Chitao, get the chair over. I forgot. Pamasuri just came back from Far Kusan, Taiwan. So we may invite her to share with us some sharing for the trip. Okay. The mic is there, Pamasuri.
Good evening, Bratio,
and
all Kayanamitas. Actually, this trip, I go with the purpose of with what I call come out from my comfort zone, because always here.
Yeah.
See how my mind react to that kind of situation. So, I would use two words, very relaxed when I was there. Very relaxed and very happy.
Good.
And it's usually the same. Like
how many days this time?
7 days.
7 days.
Seven days, and then we go 2 days traveling, 1 day going, and 1 day come back. So as usual, 500 of us sleeping in one hall.
Oh, sadhu. So very big hall.
Very big hall. So 500 of us. But actually, I really don't know how to describe. You can see like people, practically the temple is running 24 hours. The kitchen, even the place we sleep, and then some old people. Actually, the participant, the age range is like from 10 years old to 100 years old. The oldest one, 100 years old, and she was in the main shrine that doing the bowing and standing. 100 years old, and then she can still do it. The faith, I can see the faith very strong.
Very good.
And then, what else? I just highlight something that, you know, that touched me. A few occasions, like when the ex-abbot, when we there are people who complain, because the bed that we are given is like 2.5 feet by 6 feet. So the next person will be 2.5, 2.5. So it's like when you sleep, you turn around, you will see everybody.
But next to each other.
Next to each other. So this time I got my bed, I told I called you and said, wow, this time jalat already. Left and right also got people. Because last time I was really lucky, I got a corner lot. This time, I said, no right, no left, take the middle path, so you sleep facing the ceilings. What the abbot told us is very true. The ex-abbot, he said, Wu sang sen sen wei miao fa, bai qian wan jie nan zao yi. He said, you can sleep in between these two person. Bai qian wan jie nan zao yi. You can't face, you can't get this type of affinity with them. So at night when they snore, 你看到他们, 你又听到他们, 说你见到了, so 愿解如来真实意, you must go and contemplate why you stir. That is the one that touched me. So they said Dhamma is in your daily life, it's not you chant, and then it's not in the sutta itself. Actually, 你要看到那个法, 你不是在那个情里面, 你要看到你的在你的日常生活中里面看到.
That one is very good.
So it really touches me that we chant, we make aspiration every time. 我们要看到那个法, 可是我们一直在那个景里面找，我们不会在那个我们的生活里面去找。That's what he told us. And then I feel the first day when I arrived there, I feel very touched. The moment I reached the Kuan Yin Hall, we were told to pay respect first before you check in. So the moment I kneel down, the emotion, the emotion came.
The feeling.
The feeling came. There were once, and then the second time is when the abbot asked us to chant the prayers to the Kuan Yin. That 你怎样发愿?
Very that important.
One, that one also 你要怎样发愿?
How you make your vow.
Vow and how you make aspiration. At that time also, I very emotional. And then after I was at the Chan Tang this time, so the Zen, the meditation hall.
Yeah.
So we were chanting this six patriarch
sutta. Ah, yeah.
So
六祖慧能谈经。六祖谈经。
This the lecturer from the 圣切大学。She come and explain to us how to walk the bodhisattva, the cultivation from we looking for our path.
Yeah.
We see our mind, and then to the stage that we have no mind and no self, and then 到回来等下看山又是山，到最后什么都没有。Then我们在最后的时候称愿，那个 bodhisattva 就是我们到最后又称愿再回来。When he said that 称愿带愿称愿而来的时候，我是很感动那个时候。
是啊，对。
Then 还有一个就是。到最后的时候，他们放那个圣严法师那个照片出来，他说我们今天有这个法会，几千人能够在这边集合，都是因为圣严法师的那个大愿，我们才有这样的设备，我们要感恩。所以我那个时候也是很感动。
Gratitude.
Very they emphasize a lot on gratitude. And then 他告诉我们，如果你的心境，你净土就在你的心里面，不是在西方要去朝圣这样。That was those few things. And actually, it was very happy when you see people cannot sleep. Also, you are very happy. And then my neighbor next to me, when she cannot sleep, she cover her eyes one side and then she smile to me one side. I can still. And I also cannot sleep, and then I smile to her. And then some old people, they go there, they memang cannot sleep.
Yeah, yeah,
so they wake up 2-3 o'clock, you can see people brushing, you can see people facing the mirror, washing face. It was very, very interesting
experience,
kind of experience and condition to see how our mind can can go with that kind of condition. And then,
it's not easy to accord and flow when they arrange the activity in such a way. 500 cultivators sleeping in one hall.
And they have 10 halls. They have 10
then
halls.
They only give you 2.5 feet by 8 feet.
2.5 by 6.
No, 8, because you need walkway for people to walk across.
Yes, and then so your luggage, you have to put somewhere else. You have to take out your clothes, and you have to pillow, make the clothes your pillow and all that. Actually, very interesting. I feel very interesting. And this time, until the last day, I can realize my I react less, and I comment less, react less, and I comment
because
less.
Because you realize that mundane mind, it is not easy to understand this mundane mind, because like she said, you have been in the comfort zone for too long, and you seldom subject yourself to activity outside. Then also because most cultivator, your karma is very good, your condition is very good, so there is not much condition to test you or to give you the condition to subject yourself to certain experiences that you may react or you may not get used to it. Like this one is sleeping next to each other. Big hall with 500 people. Not to say 500, even with 100. I tell you, it's an experience. But last time I went for one, that one lucky best, the monk, he said, he pair you out, 2 person he pair. Then he said, you stand in front of each other, less than 1 feet apart. Then look into each other, into the eye. See how long can you look. You can see your partner. You don't know them, and they also don't know. Then you look. You look. You go and try. It's very interesting. Initially, you're not used to it, because you can't adopt. But for me at that time, I already have the Dhamma, so for me it's nothing. Look, I look, then my partner cannot tahan, he turned away. Yeah, face one another and see eye to eye. No, initially you're not used to it because your brain will start to, what am I doing? What is this guy doing? And you don't know him. And if it's the opposite sex, we're still. Then he said, look at each other. So when you look, you want to perceive it. Then you never do this before. So all the sankhara will start to move. But for me, because my mindfulness was already there, so I looked. Then I had this natural smile. I can read it, love, metta. Then I just look. The other fellow not used to it. He has never done this before. So he felt very awkward. He just turned away. He don't want to look at me. So you can understand. Then you can see a lot of them cannot. Less than 1 minute, they start to turn away. And then a lot of them laugh. Oh, laugh. So it was an experience. Then sometimes you... that's why I like the way Krishnamurti use the... He don't call it Dhamma. He use very powerful understanding to describe. They ask him, what is meditation? He said, it is in relationship that we develop wisdom. So meditation is related to relationship. If you seclude yourself, you never do meditation. Because you cannot meditate alone. You need to have relationship. But relationship doesn't mean relationship with fellow human beings or living beings. Your relationship with nature, your relationship with the environment, with society, with humanity, with everything that you come into contact with. That is what life is all about. That's how you learn. Because when you are sensitive, you don't need to go to a crowded area to have the condition to experience all this. In fact, wherever you are, anywhere, any place, any moment, or any condition, if you are sensitive, there is relationship between your form and mind, with the environment, with nature. Sometimes with your own mundane mind. Understand? Yeah, this mundane mind, I tell you, if you don't understand, you have not developed the wisdom and the training, this fellow can create hell for you. That's why the Buddha said, this mundane mind is the forerunner of all things. And this mind is chief. Yeah. When mind arises, everything arises. So he always say, our mundane mind is the forerunner of all things. And this mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. So the phenomenal world, the conditioned world of consciousness, they are all mind-made, not real. Dependent originating, conditioned arising. That's why the phenomenal world is a world of consciousness. And you will understand all this when you understand relationship. Then you will understand form and mind and form and mind. Nothing real. But because without the Dhamma, without the profound understanding, this external form tend to create phenomena for you to attach, to cling, to like have difficulty to confront. Because you cannot understand what form is all about. So it's not only fellow living beings sleeping next to each other. It's the whole environment, nature. Like in this house, you don't think without Kayanamitas here or human being, you think there is nothing. You have this solid wall and all this thing, the ceiling, the fan. Then the non-human is only there because you are not sensitive. You don't feel them. Actually, you feel them. You are not alone. You are always in relationship to something. Even the air we breathe, if we have contentment, if we have gratitude, we would thank nature for giving us the condition to receive the air that we need so badly for our own survival. We need the oxygen. Then we need to discharge whatever carbon dioxide or toxic gases and all those things. You need to release them out. Then all of the water that we need to sustain life, they come from nature. Then you look at society, you look at the environment, fellow living being. You should have gratitude towards all those people that make the world what it is, like our society. The hospital, they got doctors, they got nurses and all those things. You should have gratitude towards them, where they care for the sick, they provide medical treatment, they give you all the medical care. Of course, you say private sector, they charge. Fair enough, because it's private sector. But government department, for those who are entitled to certain benefit, is still free. Then for senior citizen or retiree, the charges are very nominal. So our medical cost is not really that high. That's why a lot of foreigners, they choose Malaysia. Our ringgit is not so expensive. It's not so strong as the US dollar and certain ASEAN countries' currency. Then you look at the bomber, firemen. They play their role. When there is problem, especially fire or accident or what, they are the one that come and help out, resolve all this. Then the police maintain order. They maintain the whatever they call it, the duties of police to curb crime, to ensure that society can have the peace that they want. Then we also have the teachers who teach us, give us the education, the knowledge and all those things. Then there are other services that government department provide, private sector, they give us job, they pay the people who work for them, then they generate economic growth. Then the government, through the tax collection, they channel all this, what they call money, back into infrastructure to develop the country. So infrastructure cover a lot, not only highway, transportation, even your education, your health, medical services. Then they have to maintain an army to protect the country. Then they also have this water department, waterworks department. We don't assume how we get all this clean water, drinkable, potable water. Then they also have a lot of all these other related services, like our transport ministry, aviation industry. Then there are many other things that the government provide, society provide. Then as an individual that stay in society, we have to have gratitude towards all these people. That's why the virtue that you develop, that sense of gratitude, respect, then contentment, the joy, then when you can contribute in certain way towards society, that is how you play a role. Each and every people play their role. Even the barber who cut your hair, they also play their role. Of course, now they call them hairstylists and all those things. Then even those shopkeepers that sells the hawker food and all those things, or the whatever other essential consumable goods that we buy. Of course, now we go online and all those things. So this is what the digital world is all about. This is what the economic society activity is all about. Then we got the governments that implement all this. Then they have the law to regulate all this. They have the judiciary to help you to maybe maintain the balance of power. They are the one that help to curb the executive. Where the executive will become too powerful without the judiciary. So separation of power. Then of course you need all the other departments. The income tax department, the immigration department. So you also need the various ministry, like the women's affair, children's affair, social, what they call science, environmental, and all those things. So if you look at society itself, it's already not simple. It's very complex, very complicated. Then we have our own human relationship with fellow human beings. That one also not easy, equally complicated. We have relationship, like the Buddha said, with our parents, with our children, our grandparents, our neighbor, our friends, our colleague, our relatives, then your employer, employee. So all these are the people whom you have to interact with. Then the man on the street. Then when you go for certain type of treatment or whatever activity with government department or authority, you need to interact with them, you need to deal with them. So this is where you can actually learn. Dhamma is life itself. When you interact with people, you check. If you have the Dhamma, means you have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, the four right effort you constantly cultivate. Then you are ever mindful. Then because of your stability of mindfulness, you have samadhi. So the Noble Eightfold Path is complete in its teaching. When you have this embodiment, you are a true cultivator. You are a true Buddhist in the real sense. But you call yourself a Buddhist with a label and you don't cultivate the Buddhist understanding or the teaching according to the advice of the Buddha, then you are not a true Buddhist. You are not worthy of the Buddha. So all this understanding will develop you as a person, character-wise, personality-wise, understanding-wise. So these are all in the midst of life, in the midst of society, in the midst of wherever you are. So going to such spiritual trip like what Padmasuri got is an experience if you already have the Dhamma, if you already understand. That's why she can find joy in many places that they teach. The abbot that spake, the lady that came and helped them to understand the six patriarchs, chant the six patriarchs platform sutta, and what that sutta is all about. It's all about cultivating the Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha. Because its teaching is based on Diamond Sutta, the three hallmark of Hui Ling's teaching. No thought, no mark, no mark of self-cultivating, no mark of living being, no mark of Dhamma. Then there is the last one, no dwelling of the mind. So all this, there is joy because she can understand. Then learn to have gratitude. Without certain condition, nothing happens. Like our case, the Dhamma community, Kaidamita Shiva, it all started with Yun Chan. Understand? So Yun Chan is like Sun Yan Fasu. Without the founder, that whole Faku San activity can never take off. Understand? So if Yun Chan had not invited my nature to come out, we will not have the Kaidamita grouping. And we will not be here for so many years of this sharing. So all these are the condition behind. So when we have the condition, we learn. That's why even when we travel, sometimes I heard some are sensitive. You know how they complain or not? Not all. Most of our Kayamita are okay. So sometimes, especially people who are not from our Kayamita group, then they go. So sometimes, like Pamasri used to share with me, they got this problem. You got not enough rooms to go around. Why? Because sometimes you end up one girl, one boy. So you cannot put them in the same room. Understand? So how? Ask each of them to take one room. They got to pay extra every night. Not cheap. Then how? So you got to put one of them in a twin room. So three person a room. So these two share room. But then, that two that share and have three inside, they will complain. We pay the same amount. Why you ask them to share room with us? One toilet only. So the thought will create sankara and complain. Understand? Why can't you tell yourself, I come for spiritual trip. I must have a spiritual mind to understand all this. Understand? So it's like you say, no harm, because if I have this, what they call understanding of the Dhamma, I'm willing to sacrifice, understand, for the good of the many, to resolve all this, then maybe save some money. We are two of them supposed to have one room. We save one room, so that cost can be distributed to the extra bed or whatever. Or they can maybe provide you all with some refund or whatever. So you take it with understanding, then your mind, like Pamasuri experience, you don't go and complain so much. Understand? Otherwise, because why you complain? The ego come out, understand? You compare. And you compare because you feel cheated. Understand? You thought other people also pay like that, you also pay like that. Why should you take in that the other Kayanamita or the other guy? So you say, why can't you push to the other one, the other room? So this thought, when it starts, it will create division. It will create disharmony. Understand? Then the anger, the unhappiness, it will not end. Then initially, how it starts is small. The roommate, two of them complain first. Then they go to dinner or what, they meet somebody. Hey, your room, how many people? Two only, I three, Oh, toilet also not enough time to use, And sometimes you meet one, I go in half an hour, You only got 1 hour, three of them, how to take bath? So you have problem, so you have to resolve it. But when you have Dhamma, if you don't complain, your focus is have a good mind, sacrifice. If it's urgent for you, you need to go, you go. But be considerate. When you know you got three person, you got only 2 hours, you go in for half an hour, the rest will be miserable. So be sensitive. That's why all this is Dhamma. Then speak to people nicely. I hope you don't mind. Thank you so much for letting me use. So they were, no. And most Kayanita say, yeah, Queenie, you are more elderly. You need, you go, you go. Then it become different, isn't it? Otherwise you become very selfish. You quickly go to the hotel room. You go in, you book the toilet first. But if you need to emergency relief, you do that. After that you come out and say, okay, who is next? Then you ask, who wants to take bath? If nobody, then can I take first? If you ask for permission with nice, pleasant speeches, people will understand, you can go and have your bath first. Then after that, we take over. So, resolve issue amicably. Watch your mundane mind, how it stirs, how it wants to create this negativity or mind state. This is where the Dhamma is. Mindfulness, aware, sensitive. Then you must understand, this form of mind subject to karma. So it has its duty. So if you have virtue, kindness, goodness, understanding, when you do your duty well, in future, you will have people who will treat you very well, with sensitivity, with understanding. And your life will become beautiful because you sacrificed. Then people will know, people will talk about it. That Kanyamita, he is very, very nice. He is so kind. He let us do all this first. He never complained. So you can get such feedback, I think. You really have the Dhamma, understand? Otherwise, you become the odd one. You, that one, you be careful. You become his roommate, you be careful. Last time I remember, there was one trip to Thailand. A few Kayanamita came and warned me, Pratyu, Pratyu, do that, the lady, be careful. It's not from our group, no. He said, they went with her previous trip, organized by others. They cannot tahan her. She really tell you off and everything. Then I also don't know who she is. That trip I remember to Thailand. But it turned out very good. She didn't complain. She did approach me, ask me a few things. But because the way we conduct ourselves and all that, so she also become different. Then I told them, okay, she is not like what you all perceive. But I think it's because last time the three they went, not everybody like that one. So everybody also argue. That's why you have all these conditions, you trigger off. Then I tell you, when they become angry and unhappy, you cannot stop. Not easy. So it depends on your understanding. Then you know how to resolve it immediately, you resolve it. Then most of the time we get it resolved very fast because they refer the problem to me. Especially our organizers. When they come to me, I will know how to resolve it. Then I say, okay, don't worry, we resolve it this way. Then we got it amicably resolved. So sometimes the local guy also, they have problem, they have issue, but they are so scared that we complain to their company, the boss and all things. And once they have this complaint, it seems it's very detrimental to their career and other things. So we have to be sensitive. Unless it's really something very bad, then we need to talk. We talk. But at least we need to be fair to them, to be sensitive. Then we resolve it amicably. And they were very happy. So even when I told them, I said, never mind, because the condition is such, they try to do certain thing, the authority had again. They said, never mind, we don't go up. But for them, they cannot. It's in the itinerary, understand? If they don't complete the itinerary, you make a complaint, they get into big trouble, understand? It's like something very major type of, they call it penalty for the company or whatever. Then they may lose their, what they call, the license to be a tourist guide and all those things. So all this, we need to be sensitive. Then I told them, you don't worry, I will sign for it that we choose not to go. We want to save time for the other activity. They were so happy, because they save on the entrance fee. Then they save time. Otherwise, delay cannot complete. Cannot complete also, you got problem. They need you to sign off the form. So we are the one that doesn't want to rush here, rush there, and just, they call it, because you pay already, they want every cent worth of the tour. No point, understand? We don't want to have a program that is very packed. Then it doesn't serve the purpose. That's why sometimes I tell them, not important one, we just cancel it. Sometimes they show and all those things, we just cancel it. Then there was one trip, I think, the renminbi appreciated. I think lost quite a bit of money. So we helped him. We canceled one of the show. He was so happy. So we told him, you don't worry, because we also need to go back to hotel and rest. Otherwise, after the show, it's about 9:30 to 10 p.m. Reach hotel almost 11 p.m. Before you take your bath, you are so tired. After that, you sleep. Next morning, again, morning call. You don't even, the hotel is very nice, but you don't get to sleep in it properly. You don't get to really enjoy the hotel environment. So what we need is more time for the dinner, more time for us to have our bath, clean up, rest. Then sometimes you can have shopping and all, see. Then you come back at about 9 something. Then we can have sharing, understand? And these are more meaningful. And it really develops the understanding of the spiritual trip that is intended for. Otherwise, you are no different from those who like to get back every cent they pay. Understand? They put the program until so packed, then they want to visit everywhere. I tell you, you won't enjoy if you do that. Because you are like, they call what? Chasing after what? Akanyatsu, like chasing after the duckling. What for? You don't really get to enjoy. You reach there, come down, buy ticket, go in, half an hour, meet here, then half an hour, go back to the bus. Then you travel another 1-2 hours. Then go to another place. By the time you reach hotel, middle of the night. What for this trip? Understand? So, Dhamma is life itself. When we understand, we know how to simplify things. Even your own life, your relationship with your loved one, with everything, you can simplify them. You can develop mindfulness to be aware of how things go wrong, how to avoid them, how to improve on them, and how to make life more pleasant. And this is taking care of karma. Then karma will take care of you. Then you will have the good life. Then because you are a blessing to all when you do all this, then that karmic ship becomes different, the understanding becomes, then you know how to apply them. Like what Alicia learned. Last time she full of fear, then later on she realized she recovered, then she can organize tour for the whole family, even Freddy's family and all things. I went with them to one trip in Japan, Hokkaido. Oh, very nice trip, that one. I like it. We got two and we travel. Then they book all the hotel, all those things. And it was relatively cheap, because we travel without guide. We go ourselves. With all the itinerary we get from the internet, everything. Then we just travel. It's very nice. And we can stop anywhere we like. Then when we eat, we can eat anywhere we like. Then the weather is beautiful, Hokkaido, the nature and all those things. That's why when you go on spirit, but not too big a group, because in that one, two van is just nice. Two van, we got about 16 of us. 14 only, 7. Plus the driver is 8. Our own driver, 14. It's quite fun. Then sometimes the van didn't catch up with each other. So we need to call, okay, next rest and service areas, stop area, we stop. So there they don't call it rest and service area. It's just a place where you can go for your toilet break. It's like a 7-Eleven convenience store there. Then they got one area. I don't know what was that for initially. Then later on, I think Freddy told me, people smoke one, smoking room. They got one glass area, I think about 10 by 12 or 15. Everybody smoker go in there. So then I saw all the smoke inside there. But the weather was very good. I liked the weather at that time. So we really have fun. So when you have the Dhamma, weather very good, everything go your way, then there is so much joy when you travel. Because you don't think like normal selfish people and complain. Because when you have difference of opinion, you should die, what I tell you. The fellow says, no, don't go there. We go there. But you are not the only one deciding. Another couple may complain. Why go there? Nothing. We go shopping. Then another one will tell you, go to the park. Then eat also problem. This one better, that one better. So how? So the best is you have people who can like go by consensus, understand? Then let the person who organize make most of the decision. That's why in the Kayana Metta tree, I need them to understand is, if you want to follow me, You let me make the decision to resolve issue. Otherwise, sure, a lot of problem. So far, so good. Everything went on well. But they realize one thing. If anybody not happy or what, they will come and talk to me. Not the person. The organizer will come and talk to me. But till we got this one, how? I say, very simple, don't worry. You go and tell him, Brother Teo decide. Brother Teo's decision. Once you tell him Brother Teo's decision, he won't complain already. He keep quiet already. Otherwise, he cannot stop us. We already consulted Brother Teo. Brother Teo already agreed. Then, I realize the thing turned down. Otherwise, I won't end one. They did not come to me, you see. But they go through some kairamita. Then the feedback come. So all this you learn. But nowadays no more. During the early day. Because that time some of them were new from outside. They don't know. Okay, we let Pamasuri continue.
I think that's about all.
Oh, that's about all.
I feel very relaxed and happy. Very relaxed and happy.
Yes.
Even though so many people. The food, sometimes, because they give us food, like 5,000 people, they have to prepare 5,000 lunch pack. So sometimes you will get a lot. And then they don't waste, you have to eat everything. Tell you,叫什么啊？试他，他叫你做试他，面对他，接受他，then resolve it， 解决他，最后吃掉他。That means your problem is also referred to
means their advice is to help you understand the Dhamma, reflect on the food. So what we normally do is, I think they also teach there. Remember last time I went there before.Reflect on the food.
Yes, reflect on the food.
You have gratitude towards all those who have made this food available. So you would like to thank them for the food and you rejoice. Then you share merit and transfer merits to them and all those things. Then resolve it. Face it. Mian tui is face it. Understand? This is how you resolve problem. You don't run away from problem. You don't delay problem. You confront it and resolve it. Resolve means...understand it, make a right decision, appropriate decision, and resolve it amicably and move. Otherwise, the problem is still there. It will create unhappiness, suffering, sometimes fear, worry, anxiety. You cling because it's still an unresolved issue or problem. So you know how to resolve problem. It shows that you have understanding, you have Dhamma.To resolve a problem is very easy. Calm yourself down. Do not react. Do not stir. Do not panic. Just have a calm mind with clarity. Look, what is the issue? What is the problem? What actually happened? Then when you understand, then you just make a decision and move. Resolve it. Following Noble Eightfold Path. You need to ask for forgiveness. Ask. Need to explain to people. Talk to people in a very nice way.And seek their understanding, then just do it. And that's how. If you are sincere, you apply Noble Eightfold Path, no problem. So the right view is always with regards to law of karma. There are causes and conditions from the past. That's why now condition things become like that. So understand it, accept it, resolve. Don't blame, don't get angry, don't react and create a scene or nothing. So, all the evil roots are the cause of your negativity, your anger, your frustration, your envy, your jealousy, your unhappy mind. Why must mind be like that? Why must you be like that? If you have the Dhamma, you will be peaceful, you will be happy, you will have a lot of contentment, you will have a lot of gratitude towards a lot of things. The Dhamma make you beautiful.Not your defilement, always remember. Defilement will make you ugly, miserable, and cause your karmic downfall. So always remember, beautiful Dhamma make you beautiful. You hold on to defilement, you suffer, you become miserable. And defilement is the one that cause you to become violent, selfish, fearful, doubtful with all the negativity of mind state. Your fear, your phobia, your insecurity, your unhappiness. Then later on, all of your sorrow, lamentation. This arises because of delusion, born of defilement. Without delusion, there is no defilement. Without defilement, there is no negativity of mind state. There is no suffering. There is no coming negativity, no downfall. So the source of problem is always delusion, ignorance, leading to defilement. That's why the Avijja Sutta always start with ignorance. So the nutriment for ignorance is the five mental hindrance. And the five mental hindrance is the result of your three wrong action. And your three wrong action come from your lack of yoniso manasikara, wisdom at the moment of sense experience. And this one come about because you lack faith in the triple gem. You didn't listen to the true Dhamma. You didn't reflect, contemplate to develop the initial wisdom. This is how your mind develops negativity, evil roots. And it leads to your downfall. So to reverse all this, you need to understand the enlightenment cycle. So enlightenment cycle say you must have Dhamma friend to have the condition to listen to Dhamma, which you all have. Then you know how to straighten your view, develop the faith, the spiritual faculty, the understanding, the joy, the meritorious action. So listening to Dhamma, coming for Dhamma session and classes and activity, develop a lot of wholesomeness. And this is how you start. Then when the faith is there, you will have the initial wisdom. Then you will know how to cultivate mindfulness, clear comprehension. Then you can have sense restraint. Then when you can have sense restraint, you will be mindful, aware. Then the three way of good conduct will become possible. Your action, speech and thought process are beautiful. So when you have this, then you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, the enlightenment factor will come and it will bring about enlightenment. And that is how you cultivate. And as Kayamita, we have most of them. Some have all of them. So the first four is very easy. We have Dhamma friend, sure. As Kayamita, you have a lot of Dhamma friend. Then you got a condition to listen to the Dhamma, to cultivate, to reflect, to contemplate, to straighten your view, to develop the meritorious action, to make your aspiration, share merit, transfer merit. Then you also can invoke power of merits for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then you develop the faith. Then after that, the initial wisdom through the first turning, listening to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate, second turning. So Suttamaya Panya leading to Chintamaya Panya. Then after that, you only need to work on the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, Sati Sampajana. That one is not difficult if you really sincerely do. Then when you have this, you will be able to have sense restraint. So when you are able to have sense restraint, means you will have cultivated your four right effort, everything. Then you can arise the right speech, right thought, and right action. Consistently, the three way of good conduct. Then from there, you will at least become a sotapan. Then after that, you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness. You will develop enlightenment in the here and the now. So all these are very straightforward. Okay, very good. Let us thank Paramasri for the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Wow, so fast. 10 o'clock already. Okay, turn to page 408. So, reason to believe in rebirth. So, in the Majjhika Nikaya, the Buddha said, I recall my varied lot in former existence. So after, immediately after his enlightenment, the Buddha was able to see his past life, back to many, many, many lives. Then here the question is, how are we to believe in rebirth? So chapter 24 is about reason to believe in rebirth. So they give you the reason. Okay, before we go to the text, what is your personal belief, or what do you think? Is rebirth real? Is there such a concept or theory that there is rebirth for each and every living beings, not only human beings? For us Buddhists, we tend to believe in rebirth, isn't it? But what is your personal opinion? In what way do you have this conviction that there is such thing as rebirth? Do you have a strong conviction, or you feel that rebirth is very true? Pass the mic. Then after that we go through the text, then you will be able to compare them. PG, very good. Sure.
Hello, Brother. Mr. Steele and all Kalamitas.
Yeah,
one of the things that convinced me that there is rebirth is when I went somewhere and the place seemed very familiar, or there's very, very strong feeling.
Yes.
Especially when I went to India. And China trip. Nothing else to say except that there has to be rebirth.
Because you feel that place is very familiar. You have been there before. That is one of the way to have strong faith. Push it out. Push it out all the way.
I think 3-4 years back, I went to Sri Lanka. The minute I check in, my heart tell me I'm going home.
Sadhu. You have arrived.
At the airport itself.
I remember during the year, I think 19, was it 1996? I forgot. I don't know which year already. When I went back to China, they took me to this place, Han San Si. You've heard of this place, right? Later on our spiritual trip, we also visited this place again. The first time I went there, I didn't know what that place was, So, the bus stop, then we walk a certain distance. Then as I walk out to the temple, I felt something very strange, I said, this place is so familiar. Like I've been there before, now I remember. The year 2000, before the end of the year. You know that year 2000, the end of the year, 31st December, you know how much was the ticket or not to go into the temple, to partake in the New Year Eve, welcoming of the New Year. There is a bell where they gong it, the zong. The one that was stolen by the Japanese when they conquered China. So it seems at that time, the year 2000, you had to pay 10,000 renminbi for one ticket to go in. That New Year one. So when I went up there, I felt the energy, everything. Then I felt this place, I was very familiar. I've been here before, but I don't know what that place was. Then later on, the Tao Yu explained, then show us the bell and all those things. Then he talked about this Han San Si. So at first, I thought Han San Si, nothing special, isn't it? Then when he talked about these two bodhisattva, Han San Si De, Si De, never mind, it's actually the two of them, Han San and this other the Bodhisattva, the two who started that temple. Then they brought the Dhamma over to Japan, it seems. They were very famous. Then straight away it struck me, you know, we have this name, Han San. After I graduated from MU, I don't know what happened. I went to the library one day. I think 1979, I graduated February. Then 1980-something, I was back to MU. Yeah. I think 1982, I was back to MU. Then I went to the library. Then underneath the library, there is a bookshop. So I went in. I looked around for books. Then I saw on the shelf this book, the biography of Han San. I don't know who that monk was. Then I just flicked that book. Then I saw the teaching inside there was quite interesting. So I bought that book. This is that time was 1982. Then I read through that book. This guy, the cultivation he did is the same as what I did. Exactly the same. He also say he got no psychic one. But he can understand a lot of things. And the way he meditate, no posture, nothing. He also do things like that. Then after that, after 1989, when I had the understanding, then I read through the book again. Then I check. Hey, everything he do was what I do. In the biography book. I say, who is this monk? How come like that? In 1982, I bought the book. I just flicked through. I didn't read. I put on the shelf. Then after 1989, I have the understanding that I got nothing to do. I remember that book in the shelf. So I took out. Then I read. Hey, this monk, everything he do is the same as what I do. Then when I went there in the year 2000, the temple, I didn't know it was his temple. But I felt I had been here before. Then when I went up, that you explained, then he mentioned his name. Then only I come to know, no wonder this place, like very familiar. Because this guy, a lot of things he do is what I do. Even this life, my nature do. So, it's either I got very strong affinity with this guy, or that life I was that guy. Understand? The Han San vlog. So you never know. So a lot of this thing is not for you to say. Then from the way I came this life, when I was young, I really knew my nature different. I'm not a normal person. I already knew. But the sign tell me. A lot of things tell me. And I can understand a lot of things that I never learned this life. So if there is no past life, then how can I know? How can I understand? Because in the Wu Ping Ching Su, the chanting and all those things. She was behind me. And she saw. He saw and all those. And he said, he saw. So a lot of these things, you don't know. I don't know. I told you, I don't know. No, either I got very strong affinity with the guy, or that guy was me. Understand? In that life. That guy. I also got a feeling I'm that guy. But I don't want to know. We have no point. But it so happened, everything he do, his meditation, understanding, and the way he do his meditation, exactly like what I do this life. Then how can it be like that? Then when I was there in the year 2000, as I walked up, I felt something very strange. Like this place, I've been there before. In China, in the middle of nowhere. Then I asked the guy when I was up there, I said, what is this place? He said, this is the famous Han San Si. Han San Si. Famous for what? The two monks, you see. Han San Si De. The moment he mentioned the two monks, I remember the first monk, Han San, and the biography. Oh, no wonder. And that place, the energy was very strong. Very, very strong, that place. So a lot of things, you will have to find out yourself. Then what I like about the Buddhist teaching is, because the moment I saw the Four Noble Truths, I got no more doubt. Then his theory of law of karma is so beautiful. It can explain everything. The way why human beings are born all different. No? Then I saw in my family, I told you all that, my father and mother, they are the same. Understand? No? Same locality, same environment, same condition. We got 9 brothers and sisters. All born from the same parent. Everything same. We got almost, the gap was almost 1 year plus. One by one, or Papa Lang, let her come down. Except my elder brother from China. Then I look at all of them. All different. No? 9 of them. Some very tall, some very short. Some a lot of hair, some no hair. Some very strong in the Dhamma, in the cultivation. Some totally cannot. Some did very well in education. Some totally cannot study. From 3 years old, fail. So, if it's not karma, what can it be? Because same parents, same DNA, everything. Same environment, you come out. But everybody is different, no? But all of them are successful. That's why I saw all these things. Then I saw my parents, I saw my mother, I saw those people whom I know, my childhood friend, my neighbors, and all those things. Then I went to school, my classmate. Then when I came down to KL, when I mixed around, I got more unimate and all those. Then I saw. Then after that, as we graduate, we work. Then we came out until now. Quite a number pass away, die. And how they die, how they are alive, all those. I look. Then I realize that all this is coming. Coming. That's why they are like that. Then some got affinity with my nature. Some don't have. Then how I supposed to meet them also? God is conditional. Even like you all, Kayamita, most of you all, I don't know. I don't know you all. Even my wife also, I don't know who she is. Until I went there for training. In the year 1977. Third year training. So, all these things, is for you to observe and understand that if there is no such thing as this law of karma relying on rebirth process, the world cannot be what it is. Understand? A lot of this experience that we have cannot be happening. That's why even some of these Westerners, they can recall their past life. As kids, when they come and all those things, they can tell their parents they were where and where before. Then they can trace, they go back, they check. There is such a thing. Then there is this doctor what earlier. He don't believe in the Buddhist teaching one. But as a doctor, she tend to go into some dream state like that one. He dream, then he come out. He know how to cure people. No, and when he go not dream into a trance. When he go into a trance, he will tell people, your this sickness come from your karmic past. Because you did this thing to people, that's why now you got this. So now you have to do all this. Then he give you some medical advice and all things. Then they recover. No? But when he was conscious, you ask him, he don't believe in karma and all this. But he doesn't know about this teaching. But as a doctor, when he is in that state, to treat people and advise people. He talked about all these things. Last time, Chief Reverend K. Sri Dhammananda mentioned this doctor very often. He's a Westerner, Western doctor. I forgot Dr. Wan already. Very famous guy. And he got a lot of case history. about past life thing. So this particular topic is very interesting. The reason to believe in rebirth. Anybody else want to add anything about your understanding of past life, or do you have any basis for it to impact upon your life so that you have faith that rebirth is real? Nobody, then we read the text. Okay. Turn to page chapter 34, 408. How are we to believe in rebirth? The Buddha is our greatest authority on rebirth. On the very night of his enlightenment, during the first watch, the Buddha developed retrocognitive knowledge and enabled him to read his past life. I recall, the Buddha said, he declared my varied lot of former existence as follows. First, one life, then two life, then three, four, five, 10, 20, up to 50, then 100, 1,000, 100,000, and so forth. During the second watch, the Buddha, with clairvoyant vision, perceived beings disappearing from one state of existence and reappearing in another. He beheld the base and the noble, the beautiful and the ugly, the happy and the miserable, passing according to their karmic deeds. So this one is very powerful. This one, there are quite a number of teachers who have this. They call it clairvoyant. Or how to pronounce that word? Clairvoyant. Oh, okay. I don't know how to pronounce this word. These are like your ability to see people taking birth. Understand? I got one teacher who can see this also. She saw how Tunku Abdul Rahman passed away. And she can check where he took rebirth. He became a prince again. But she don't want to tell us where, which prince or which king. He didn't tell us. But he checked. She take the trouble to go and check. Then she realized the rebirth. He became a prince again after he passed away. So there are people who can see that. Just like the Buddha said during the second watch, with clairvoyant vision, perceive beings disappearing from one state of existence, means you die, then reappearing in another. Then he saw the base and the noble, the beautiful and the ugly, the happy and the miserable, passing according to their deeds. Depending on what you did, your karmic deed, you take birth accordingly. That's why your karmic conditioning, most of them, they cannot decide where they want to go or which rebirth they tend to. It all depends on your karma mainly. Unless you are a cultivator, you have mindfulness, then you can choose to come. Then it can come according to your vows and aspiration. Otherwise, you got no choice. You have to come. Have to come means karma decide. You can never decide because you don't have the ability. So this one will enable the Buddha to really understand how rebirth take place. And he is telling you from his personal experience, understand? Not through circumstantial evidence or whatever. Because he saw it in his mind, clairvoyant. I cannot spell this name. I cannot pronounce. No. It will not help them to liberate. But if it comes as a byproduct, then it's good. Understand? Byproduct means you don't go and practice it. Understand? Practice it becomes psychic. But if it comes as a byproduct because of the perfection or whatever, then it's something useful. like the Buddha's case. They call this the Abhinya, special ability. They don't call it psychic. Abhinya. Abhinya means special ability that come as a byproduct of your practice. So you don't go and look for it. Then when it come, this one are more authentic. Otherwise, the other one, through psychic one, what you see may not be what it is. Understand? No? Sometimes the psychic one, they can see certain type of vision. So they think this is their past life, this is what. Then they think they can see hell being, all those things. That one may not be real. Sometimes it can be an illusion. The Mara trick of the Mara. They actually condition your mind with the image to see. Then sometimes they tell you, you are now meeting up with Kuan Yin, with the Buddha. Oh. Then they have this self-belief. Kuan Yin predict you will be so and so and all those things. Then they will tell them a story. Then they get themselves into trouble. Because you must understand, when you cultivate without virtue, without right view, without the Dhamma understanding, then you can become gullible, you can be trapped, especially if you go for psychic, thought-based, energy-based. So psychic, they will have power to condition your mind, deceive you, and get you into trouble. Then sometimes the karmic path, they can backfire, and karmic can actually hit psychic people very, very severely. So a lot of these things we have to have the understanding. Then we read on. These are the very first utterance of the Buddha regarding the question of rebirth. The textual reference conclusively proved that the Buddha did not borrow this stern truth of rebirth from any pre-existing source, but spoke from personal experience or knowledge, a knowledge which was supernormal, developed by himself and which could be developed by others as well. In his first paean of joy, the Buddha said, so this is the one after his enlightenment, he said, through many a rebirth or birth, anikajati, wander I seeking the builder of this house. Sorrowful indeed is birth again and again. Dukkha jati puna punang. In the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, his very first discourse, the Buddha commenting on the second noble truth states, this very craving is that which leads to rebirth. So craving is the mind state that conditions rebirth. Where you have craving means you have delusion, ignorance, avijja. That's why avijja is the cause of rebirth. So avijja condition craving, three type of craving: sensual craving, karma, what they call it here, craving. The Pali word is tanha, karma tanha, then vibhava tanha and bhava tanha. So the three type of craving are sensual craving, craving to be, and craving not to be. So this one, condition rebirth, because you have craving, either sensual craving, craving for the senses, that's why you have attachment to the sensual world. Whether like or dislike or anger or what they call strong attachment, it depends. When you die, you have that, then you come back. Then sometimes you have very strong craving to come back as human being, to become somebody. Then sometimes you have this craving not to be, you go and commit suicide. Commit suicide doesn't end your problem. It will bring forth terrible birth. Do you know committing suicide is breaking the first precept? Killing yourself, I tell you, that is the most horrible thing to do. So you have to be very, very sensitive to understand this. Why do you kill yourself? You yourself have what they call life force inside. You are a living being. You have life. Even killing yourself is breaking that precept. And it doesn't end your problem. A lot of people say, might as well die. Especially depressed people with a lot of psychological problems. They suffer so much in the mind. They are so depressed. Then they have this suicidal thought, which is very often. Almost every of these depressed people come and see me. They tell me they had this suicidal thought. But most of them initially will say, I think I'm not that stupid to kill myself. But when the time come, when it really hit by that defilement, you got no time to think. You will only say that because when you are sober, is it? Even the suicidal thought come, I'm not so stupid to kill myself. That is when you are sober. But when you are in the midst of depression, I tell you that suicidal thought can be very intrusive and very powerful. And through your ignorance and delusion, you can do foolish things. That's why take care of karma, don't play a fool. If you don't take care of karma, you cause people to have such miserable life. Then when it hit, you will have to go through. And without the good karma, the wisdom and the understanding and your good karma to help you, you cannot overcome. You have to face it, confront it. So this part the Buddha concludes this discourse with this word. This is my last birth. Now there is no more rebirth. So this statement you have to be careful. A lot of Theravada practitioner or even Theravada monk, they say the Buddha in his own words say this is my last birth. That's why they say Arahan, no more rebirth. But they don't understand the meaning of what the Buddha say. So the Buddha here said, this is my last birth, means that segmented life that actually bring about rebirth to ignorance, no more. Now there is no more rebirth through delusion, through craving. Then the Majjhika Nikaya relates that when the Buddha, out of compassion for beings, surveyed the world with his Buddha vision before he decided to teach the Dhamma, he perceived beings who, with fear, with evil, and a world beyond. In several discourses, the Buddha clearly stated that beings, having done evil, are after death born in the willful state, and beings having done good are born in the blissful state. So, according to karma, you will be born into. Besides the very interesting Jataka story, which deals with his previous life and which are the ethical importance, which are of ethical importance, the Majjhika Nikaya and the Anguttara Nikaya make incidental references to some of the past life of the Buddha. In the Gatikara Sutta, the Buddha relates to the Venerable Ananda that he was born as Jyotipala in the time of Buddha Kassapa. See, the Buddha Kassapa, he also was born as a human. His immediate predecessor is the Sammasambuddha before Sakyamuni Buddha. The Ananda Pindika Vada Sutta describes a nocturnal. What is the meaning? Nocturnal is anaya. A nocturnal visit of Ananda Pindika to the Buddha immediately after his rebirth as a deva. In the Anguttara Nikaya, the Buddha alludes to a past birth as Pasetana, the wheelwright. In the Sanyutta Nikaya, the Buddha cited the name of some Buddhas who preceded him. That's why he met a lot of Sammasambuddha. An unusual direct reference to departed ones appear in the Parinibbana Sutta. The Venerable Ananda desired to know from the Buddha the future state of several persons who has died in a particular village. The Buddha patiently described their destiny. Such instances could easily be multiplied from the Tipitaka to show that the Buddha did expound the doctrine of rebirth as a veritable truth. Following the Buddha's instruction, his disciple also developed this retrocognitive knowledge and were able to read a limited, though vast, number of their past life. The Buddha's power in this direction was limitless. Certain Indian rishi, prior to the advent of the Buddha, were distinguished for their supernormal power as clairaudience, clairvoyant, telepathy, teleticia, and so forth. These are all psychic ability. Although science takes no cognizance of this supernormal faculty, yet according to Buddhism, man with highly developed mental concentration cultivate this psychic power and read their past, just as one would recall a past incident in one's present life. With their aid, independent of the five senses, direct communication of thought and direct perception of other worlds are made possible. Some extraordinary person, especially in their childhood, spontaneously develop, according to the law of association, the memories of their past birth and remember fragments of their previous life. Pythagoras is said to have distinctly remember a shield in the Grecian temple as having been carried by him in the previous incarnation at the siege of Troy. Somehow or other, these wonderful children lose that memory later, as is the case with many infant prodigals. Last time somebody tend to ask this question, no? Maybe we stop here, 412. They ask during the discussion this question, no? He say if there is rebirth, means what? You can remember what happened in your last life, isn't it? It's very recent, isn't it? What do you think? Not only that. You ask yourself this life. You can never deny you were born from your mother's womb, isn't it? Come on. The first 3 years, can you recall anything? But you can never deny you were born, isn't it? So when you are a child, when you come, you cannot remember. So what about those before? The other reason is, it's a different brain. Last time that brain is that brain with the memory or there. This one is this brain, new one now. So you can't. What you can recall is the subconscious. Understand? What is it? Not only that, what I try to let you understand is that brain doesn't exist anymore. Understand? That's why you cannot have those memory. Those memory are dead together with the brain cells. Understand? Not? You understand? So that's why you cannot remember. What you can recall are the strong imprint. Understand? Not? In the subconscious. Like this life when we got certain strong, very strong imprint. Especially when you are young or whatnot, or something that impact upon you very strongly. Until today you will remember. Understand? Not? You understand? Something very strong, the imprint. But those that are not strong, like Pahun Sri say, very fast you forget. So then sometimes you meet your classmate. Are you sure you are my classmate? How come I got no idea who you are? You really got no idea? He said, you are my classmate. Sure or not? Then he show us the Form 5 photo. Oh, this one you are. Cannot recall anything. Well, you seldom mix with him. But the one you buddy on, you straight away look, you know, this fellow last time stay where together we play, we what? Or you got very strong impression. Especially if you are very buddy, then you vow to become what? Son brothers, Heng Tai. Then you got vivid memory on us, or you have done something together with him. That memory is imprinted in your subconscious. So that one, no need brain to remember. That one is imprint in your subconscious. Yeah. Then sometimes they go in deep into your unconscious. Then got condition is surface. Yeah. So that one don't need the brain. Understand? It will come over. That's why sometimes they can recall all those very strong imprint from your past life. Yeah. That's why your vow, everything will come back to you. Understand? That's why this life, when I came, I know I have all those few vows. Yeah. One of them is I vow to take across all the beings that appear as food for me to eat. Oh, that one I know very strongly inside me. That's why I came to know why I cannot go vegetarian this life. Oh, different. I vow. Because of that vow inside, tell me, that's why you have to eat. And that's why I eat. That's why people don't understand. That's why some of you may come in the chicken that I have taken. You don't know. But most of you have parami. Otherwise, you weren't born in the sasana. You won't be able to meet my nature to listen to the Dhamma of this level. Yeah. You have your parami. Yeah. Okay, we better end. Huh? Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. At least you want to ask something. Oh, yeah. Okay, we do the sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Huh? Then we end. So next week, you all want to have the class or not? You just say it's a holiday. Next week, yeah, not this week. Yeah, yeah la, 11 is a holiday. 11 is a holiday. Or slang only. So class on. PG says slang only. Yeah. Then 18, your arrange. Huh? So they want to have special puja. Then Yun Chan suggests no need to meditate, have more time. Huh? Yeah. That one special puja. So 18, no need to meditate. Yun Chan suggests one. So we can have the interaction. Then my wife said, don't call her to speak again. So you all can speak on her behalf, express your gratitude or whatever. Anyway, we rejoice. Sadhu. Yeah, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we will do the sharing of merit and transfer of merit. So this rebirth thing is very interesting. So we should, you all can go back and read the rest. Then we shall have a more lively discussion next Tuesday. Oh, next Tuesday, you want to have Dhamma? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Next Tuesday got class. Yeah, yeah, okay. So we discuss this one. Very interesting. Then you got any question, you can write it down or WhatsApp me. Then I can read it. Then we can discuss it. About rebirth. Anything you want to know about rebirth? But, what? Of course, that is part of karma. That's why when they born into your family, let's say you are a very rich person, very rich person. Then you got a son. The son spoiled. Good at spending your money and making you angry. And doesn't listen to you. Then you will have to tell yourself, say, why I like that? So sweet, have a son who did all this to me. But he's my son, or what can I do? All this money I have to pass to him. Well, past life you cheat him, understand? You took his money. So now you willingly return. Will he come as your son, understand? Understand? Past life your enemy. Will you cheat him? He hate you. He vowed to come and take revenge. So he become your son. Yeah, well, yeah, last time you take so much from him. So you have to pay back. That's like karma. Karma is like that. Yeah. So to them, they may think in the meditation they saw all this, so they conclude, understand? But if you don't have the special ability that comes as a byproduct of an enlightened being, it may not be the truth. But it's good because it's help them to feel better, understand? That's why, like Han say, no matter how much you give him, also not enough. Like past life, you owe him. Then he realized in the meditation, according to Han say, past life was the boyfriend that steal from her. Yeah, didn't marry. So it means that girl gave a lot of money, promise, I will marry you, but never marry. So, no, jhana, sometimes you have to be careful. Well, jhana, when you go into concentration, there is a lot of still picture up here. Still picture. Letting you see. And all this may not be what you think. Because you don't have the wisdom to understand them. Then you think this is your past life. You think this is what you saw. No. Like during the Buddha's time, there was one devotee, you remember? Came and see Ananda. He said, his teacher said, every life he make offering, slaughter chicken and all those things, to Sakha, King Sakha. Then immediately after he died, he become King Sakha for 8 lives. Yeah, he can see. His past birth was Sakha. And before that, he was offering this chicken. So he came and told the Buddha. Then the Buddha checked. He said, you go back and tell your teacher. If he do it one more time, he will go to internal hell. Well, that was a previous karma. Previous karma when he got psychic. You know what he did or not? He had this clairon. He had this divine eye to see. Then he saw one group of monks meditating there, under severe condition. Suffering. Cold weather, the wind and all those things. They were about to die. Then he used his psychic to save them. And that Parami was the one that gave birth to rebirth in the heaven as King Sakha for 9 lives. Because he saved 9 of them. And he didn't know. No. He thought, because before he became King Sakha that life, he had this wrong belief by offering chicken and all those things, the slaughtering of all those offerings, sacrifice. Then he go and teach his disciple that every life he do that, he take rebirth as King Sakha. That's why all this jhana, jhana, jhana. You see, you think, because you don't have that wisdom, you cannot see what caused rebirth. Because you don't understand the causes and conditions behind rebirth. You just conclude like that. You will make mistake. But there are a lot of conditions before. Not only Samasambuddha, those who have this as a byproduct, means not through the greedy mundane mind. When you still have delusion, you go into jhana, you do all this psychic, these are not accurate, understand? Even read past life, all this is not accurate. You still have delusion, how can you see the truth? Understand? But if you already have the enlightenment and it come as a byproduct, then what you see and what you understand through the Dhamma fit in on, and you know. For me, I don't want to touch all these things because I vow not to do all this. Because if I touch any of this, it will be at the expense of my perfection of wisdom. I know, even if it comes as a byproduct, you will have the tendency to use it. Understand that? So I know, I don't want to touch. That's why this life I cannot touch. It cannot come near me. I cannot go and do that type of meditation. And my nature is different. I don't want to know all these things. I don't want to touch all these things. But you can understand it through the nature's law, the Dhamma. So the Dhamma one, that's why, like the Buddha's all-knowing. But the Buddha one is through his direct understanding, because he's a Samasambuddha. But those cultivators who have this, they will know. For you to have this type of condition, this life, to become like that, your past is very likely like that, like that, like that. Otherwise, you cannot be like that. Understand? This is good enough. This is what you need. That's why I will know. Cannot be. If this is what the Buddha say, the Buddha will not do that. Why? Well, with my understanding, I also will not do that. Then how can the Buddha do that? That's why I know whatever they quote from what sutta is not correct. That's why I dare to say it's not correct. Because even at my level, I will know it's not like that. The truth is not like that. So the one that is the truth is very clear. When the moment it appears, you will understand one. Wow, very profound, the truth. And you can understand that this is what nature is. That's why everything will fit in. Yeah. So if you touch psychic before you are enlightened, chances is it's not the real one. Yeah. Because you cannot use that mundane mind that lack the wisdom to see the thing that you think that is the truth. Even the Buddha's time, he gave many examples. Yeah. That one, the rebirth of King Sakya one, is a very good one. I forgot what Jataka story here. Sutta already. There's a sutta on that. Okay, we better end. Akka Satta Cheo Pumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamojitwa Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Ita Wata Chaamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Venya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatakyo Idang Venya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Venya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Ibida Punyang Kamina Nami Bala Samagamo Satang Samagamo Hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the worthy ones. Yinjan. Thank you.